Are you married, single, in a situationship, or just doing you? Well, we're talking about love and relationships tonight. We were at the men's round table last Friday. We're talking to the women tonight. Can we hear the good, the bad, and the not so pretty side? The love doctors are in. We have two clinical psychologists tonight, Dr. Sharifa Al-Ukta and Dr. Roz Aker Black. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. You can tweet, X me at HFisherWHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Sharifa, Dr. Roz, thank you both for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, yes. Here we go. Okay, ladies. First of all, would you say that relationships are the most pressing issue for Black women, Dr. Sharifa, particularly when 62% of them are single? You see it on social media all the time. You know, the women are talking about relationships, the men, not so much.
I will say, yes, it is pressing, but I do think men are talking about relationships just a little incognito. Right.
Mm-hmm. And maybe a little ignorant too.
both. But I do think, you know, we're social creatures, right? Human beings, we are supposed to be in a collective. We are supposed to build community. We are supposed to establish relationships. So I do think that it's very normal for women to want to have relationships, want to have thriving, successful, loving relationships. So yes, we do talk about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Your thoughts about that, Dr. Ross? I mean that's kind of how you built your career, mind
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely. I see more women who, you know, they've done it all, and now it's like, where is he? Mm-hmm. And I hear all the time, Dr. Ross, it's pee in the dating pool. You know, because they're terrified of the thing. Yes. Oh. And then some are a little bit more colorful about what they think
I'm
is in
sure.
the dating pool.
Right.
But it definitely is a conversation that's happening, because it's like, I did everything right. I went to college. I got the degree. I'm a little independent. I can take care of myself.
No, men don't care about that.
Yeah. and that's what women are realizing. And
men don't care about that.
But that's not what we were told when we were younger.
Who
right?
told you that?
We were told, go to college, find your husband, get married. Well, I'm Southern, so let me put that caveat in there.
No, but hold up. Let's pick that apart.
Okay.
You said, go to college, find your husband.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of that was attributed to white women.
Yes.
You know, they go to college, and I'm going to catch you for this, but, you know, let's call a spade a spade. But I think for Black women, and I know a lot of my frat brothers who they found their mates in college.
Yeah.
Even though I don't believe that they were going there to find their mates, I don't believe that their yeah. wives were there to find husbands, but it happened.
Yeah.
And and good for them, you know, that, you know, here we are, you know, 30 years later, yeah. and they're still, you know, Phil and Rose, Al and Val, I'm calling y'all out. You know, goals, hashtag goals.
Right.
But when you do all of that other stuff, like I said, I'm speaking for every man on the planet, right?
Okay.
They don't care about that.
Yeah. That's great to know. Because sadly, what women have to recognize is that they can't lead with that. And sometimes when we have reached the pinnacle, right, of where we think we are in our career, we will lead with that.
Yeah, because a lot of times, unfortunately, women do think it's a job application.
Yeah.
So they are approaching it as if, well, I need to tell you my pedigree. I need to tell you all yep. the things that I can do, as opposed to understanding, you know, that it's a relationship. So you want to not even lead. You want to figure out what this person is going to offer in terms of the relationship, and what you might want to offer in terms of the relationship, and see if that's going to be something that can bring forth a commitment or marriage or a long-term situationship.
Even. There's that situationship thing again. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Women's Roundtable. We're talking about love and relationships. If you have a comment, if you have a question, the doctors are in, and these ladies are expensive, so you better take this opportunity to ask them now, because outside of the studio, they will charge you for that 50 minutes. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, Dr. Sharifa, what about women who say they are happily single? Is that bravado or is it true?
It can be true for some. Right? Women can definitely be happy single. They can have very nurturing friendships, family relationships. They can even have male companionship that is nurturing, right? But
is that what they call it?
Yeah. That's what we call it.
Nurturing.
That's what we call it in therapy. Are you feeling nurtured?
Yeah. Can I come over and nurture you real quick?
Listen.
Oh, not real quick. Not too quick. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, Dr. Sharifa.
But yes, so they can be happily single. But I also, there are some who recognize that they may be settling. And if they feel like they're settling, if they feel like a long-term commitment was placed on their heart or it is something that they want, they can struggle with feeling fulfilled. But can still most of the time be happy. So I just tell women to learn how to be happy and learn how to experience moments where you may not always feel fulfilled. And that's whether you are married or not, right? Whether you're single or not. You're not always going to feel fulfilled every moment in a marriage. And you're not always going to feel fulfilled every moment if you're single also. Mm-hmm. But yes, women can be happy and single.
And what about those, Dr. Roz, who are single by happenstance? It just happens.
Believe it or not, there are a lot of women who choose to be single. Mm-hmm. They've dealt with so much trauma in relationships that it's just much easier just to say, you know what, when I go to bed at night, I don't have to worry about somebody hurting me, lying to me. You know, I can get restful sleep, peaceful sleep. So there are some women who prefer to be single. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are at the Women's Roundtable talking about love and relationships. Let's go to Bobby calling from D.C. Bobby, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, guys. Well, I was thinking as I was listening to you guys talk about how we as women don't realize it, but most of the time we're auditioning. We're auditioning for relationships, whether they're romantic relationships or friendships. We're always auditioning instead of coming to the table as ourselves, coming and being our true selves. A lot of times men don't want to hear everything that you've done and what you won't put up with and all your baggage. So what I've tried to do in my relationships and the relationships that I talk to with my friends and my family is I tell young women especially to come and be your authentic self. You know, give them something to look forward to, not what you won't put up with and your bad relationships and what you have. Because quite frankly, men want to be the providers. Even if you can take care of yourself, they still want to hunt and forage and provide. So I think that's something that we have to take into consideration as women. You know, what is it that we truly bring to the table besides our degrees and besides the things that we want and we have? And I think if we think about those things, we're more apt to get into relationships that are going to benefit us to the fullest extent.
Okay. Bobby, thank you so much for that. What do you think about that, Dr. Sharifa?
I agree. I think she said it. One thing that I did want to clarify is because oftentimes when we talk about be your authentic self, women and men sometimes hear be your ideal self. So I still have to show up every day as my best self. And I have to put my best foot forward all the time. And I just want women to know that that's not true. Like, you can show up and it be a bad day. You can show up, your wig could be a little crooked, the lace could lift a little bit, you know. And if he wants
you. But not on the first date, though.
But, you know, a lot of times these men have seen women for a while. You know what I mean? Like, yes. They have noticed them, have seen them. They've sometimes even watched them go from app to app waiting to be matched with them.
Ooh.
So yeah. They have. Wow. So you might think it's the first date, but they'll be like, you know, I saw you this time and I'm so glad we were finally able to meet. So you just have to be yourself. Just be yourself and know that if you are yourself, you're going to attract someone that likes you for you.
You know, my grandmother used to call that slow walking. You.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
she
used to say, you know, you watch. You may even develop a friendship, and it's not quite a courtship, but you're really getting to know someone now. That was a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But she said, he's slow walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when and then boom, and then we's married now.
Yeah, that's how it happens. First of all, I was watching a clip where this young lady had said that, and this was probably about a year ago when I first saw the clip, and she was like, "I just don't want to date anymore. I don't want to be around men. I'm terrified. I'm scared."
Oh,
and
then,
she'd had some really traumatic experiences. But then as I kept watching the video, I was like, I've seen this before. As I kept watching the video, it showed where she had gotten past her trauma. Maybe she got healed from what happened, and now she's married. So I say this, you can have trauma and heal and still have a healthy relationship. And I think people think that they can't once they've been betrayed, that they can't move forward and find someone to trust someone to love them in the way that they desire to be loved.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're at the Women's Roundtable talking about love and relationships. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Ebony, calling from White Marsh. Thanks for calling, Ebony. What's on your mind? Ebony, are you there? Ebony? Okay. Ebony, give us a call back if you can. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay. So what about the so-called situationships where it's not love, I don't even know. You don't know what it is, but he's still hanging around. She's still hanging around. Does that work? Can that work? Or is that healthy, Dr. Ryan?
Well, let me just say, in my life, that wouldn't work for me because I need to know who I am to you, because that is important to me. Because who I am to you, how you see me, is how you're going to treat me.
Mm.
So I don't ignore me. Don't treat me like I'm not special, because I need to be special, right? So a situationship couldn't work for me, but it does work for some people.
Why? And how would you define a situationship?
Oh, well, there are several ways that people can be in situationships. I like you, you like me, and we hook up once a week and we just serve as maintenance for each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, if I need a
nurturing.
Yeah, nurturing. Yes. If I need a dinner date somewhere, you know, you're my date. You know, you're my plus one if I need you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I've seen friendships that work in that way. The problem comes in is when you don't talk about the emotions that you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a clear conversation about, I like you, and if we become intimate, I know what that means for me. What does that mean for you? Then if you set the boundaries earlier, it could possibly work. But if you don't, somebody's going to get hurt.
Yeah. How does a woman know that a man really is into her if the man has a deficit of communication skills, Dr. Sharifa?
Oh, That's a good question.
A deficit of communication skills.
That goes along with the nurturing. use your words today.
I can only speak for my life, right? And in my experience, you know, if they lock you down, they lock you down. Like, if they start to say, where are you going? Who gonna be there?
Who all gonna be there?
if all of a sudden, you know, you get started to ask questions, is it just a girl's trip? You know, he's probably saying he's a little more into you than he may have let on previously.
But see, some women may say, well, that's controlling.
Men want to control, unfortunately, if they have not affirmed a commitment. They will use control to pose as a commitment. Mm-hmm. And so if they become controlling, you want to be like, do you want us to commit? Because these are things that are outside of the standards of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could just be controlling.
Yeah, I was going to say, he could just be controlling.
But
yeah,
when they start to, where are you going, who you with, it's like, oh, do you like me or not?
Okay. Yeah. Emma from D.C., Alan from Upper Marlboro, we are talking to you next. Please do not hang up the phone. You will be able to hear the program, so stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are at the Relationship Roundtable tonight, and we're talking to the women. We're hearing the good, the bad, and the not-so-pretty side of relationships. The love doctors are in, Dr. Roz Aker-Black and Dr. Sharifa Al-Ukta. Both are clinical psychologists. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Emma, calling from D.C., thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Emma, yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So I'm a mature woman, I always have a habit of comparing my sisters in some capacity to myself. She's like we suggested. She doesn't work regularly. She's always put together. Every time she walks out the door, she has not. Her conversation to me. I love my sister. A bit limited, but at times, you know, she knows how to carry the conversation with a man, and she knows how to use those dating apps. And I'm talking about a 60 plus year old woman. She has been married twice off of those applications. I don't know, it gets her in the door, but other things occur. So I personally am not interested in that direction. I want to get out in the world again, because it's been a minute, been a decade that I've really dated, and I'm looking to figure out what the process is beyond the applications. Where do you find them in the wild? At my age at this point.
I have so much to say, Emma, to you right now. But I'm going to let the experts comment. Dr. Roz, I'll let you go first.
So, Emma, I get this question a lot. Like, where do you meet quality men? So, Here's a good first line of defense, right? What are you interested in? When you figure out your interest, go to the places of where you're interested. And 9 times out of 10, the men that had your interest, the same interest as you, they're going to be there. At least you know you have that one thing in common.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. That is absolutely, it can't be that you enjoy reading or that you travel, because I do travel a lot. I do meet people in traveling circumstances, but because they're in another country, that, you know, that becomes another challenge. So in the city, it is...
Emma, you better have your international love, child. Okay?
That's the trend.
If you connect with someone in another city, or you better make it work, sis.
Okay.
Yeah, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. Yeah. That's my biggest issue, as I do know. As you stated, once you are hurt, you have to get beyond that. And I don't want to dip into a pool and for it to fail, but things happen. I just have to get beyond that scare, I guess.
And I would say, go out with your sister. Yeah. She can catch him. Yeah,
don't shade your sister.
I'm not shading her, but she's in Ohio, and I lived in Ohio for a window of time, completely different gay dating environment compared to an urban environment. So.
Well, I think, sometimes you can come to us as professionals and please do, but also you have a village. So you have friends that are your age that are meeting men that are dating. So you want to ask them like, well, where y'all meet? Where you meet at? Where you go? What you do? Which app is catering and have men my age that are also looking for women that are my age, right? So they can be a good reference and resource for you. Also, but don't knock the international love thing. It's on trend. It's trending up. So there's a whole world.
I met a Ukrainian man on the airplane. That was very interesting.
I'm sure a Ukrainian man has a lot to say right now.
Thank you so much, but hold on,
Stella. I mean, Emma. I do have a question or two for you, but you said it's been 10 years. Why so long?
I was raising a child. I went back. So some of the things that I was raising a child solely at some point. I was working on a PhD. I moved back home to Ohio to take care of parents. They passed and I moved here. So, 10 years rolls fast.
So let me suggest this, first of all, from a man's perspective, if you meet a man and you say, well, I haven't had a date in 10 years, you need to qualify that. All right, that's why I asked. Yeah. He may not ask. But because if you...
More than likely, they do not ask those types. I never really get that kind of question.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, speaking from men, we're stupid. But but I think that they should ask. And if you say, well, I haven't been out on a date in 10 years, if you don't qualify that, he's gonna think, 10 years?
What's wrong with
What's wrong with you? Yeah. But now, what?
That's human nature.
PhD, raising a child, move. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because you that basically what you just said was life happens. The only other thing, and, Roz, I'll have you chime in since we are giving, Emma the full session right now.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Yeah, well, then there's a... But, the description that you gave of your sister and what I'm feel hearing from you, this is a man talking. Your sister is approachable and you are not.
She is.
Well...
She is very much approachable, but I contend some of that is not conversation. It's looks.
Well, and you got to get them in the church so they can hear the sermon.
Absolutely, but I can't compete with her in the look area.
But you shouldn't compete with her.
Don't compete with your sister.
Yeah, don't compete.
The jeans is the jeans.
The jeans are the jeans, right? Absolutely.
So you might just want to, spice it up a little bit because, the jeans are the jeans. So you don't have to compete.
Okay, so let me quantify this situation too. My sister she's a church going woman. So
anything wrong with the Lord?
Every time she steps out, she is fully dressed in a dress, makeup, hair. I don't have that kind of time. And I said, Emma doesn't work, and I do work. So it's been, it is a little bit of a challenge.
Go ahead, Roz, tell her, because I can't tell her.
Emma, I'm going to say this, Sugar, and I'm just hear me out. The difference between you and your sister has nothing to do with her going to church, has nothing to do with her getting dressed up or working. It's confidence. Your confidence is the sexiest thing that you can have, sis. You got to build your confidence. Yep. You got to know that when you step in the room that all eyes are on you.
Mm-hmm. And men will smell that from across the room.
Absolutely. You ain't got to wear the flyest clothes. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to be the skinniest chick. You ain't got to be none of that. But if you like yourself, then other people will like you as well.
Final comment before I let you go, Emma. I will just say this. One of the things that you just said, and again, like Roz just said, it's confidence. When you described your sister, you said she will and I won't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel any less confident in my skin. I just think that sometimes we are a bit different in our approach. And you're right. I don't go into a room, honestly, do not go into a room looking for a man. And I think sometimes, I love my sister. She is very much on point, understanding. I told her she should absolutely be out here hired to try to help women find men, because she can get you in the door.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of it's on you, but I do know that the confidence level is not, I don't have the confidence when it comes to looking for that person.
Yeah, you got it. That's where it starts.
Emma, leave your number with the producers. I'm doing Build Yourself Confidence Masterclass.
Love it.
And, the producer will pick up the phone.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
No problem.
And I appreciate that, Emma. There you go. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about love and relationships, and let me go to Alan. Alan calling from Upper Marlboro. Thanks for hanging on, Alan. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm in my car.
Yeah, go right ahead.
I'm actually a 60-ish year old guy, divorced. But the reason I'm calling in is regarding our daughter, my ex-wife, and our daughter. She's our one and only, who just got her PhD in forensic psychology from Temple. She is engaged.
Good for her.
She's never had much of a problem dating. And so I'm missed at this idea of if you're educated, black men will not be a nonsense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me tell you a couple incidents. Last week I got on an elevator to a party in a high rise building with three sisters who I knew were going to the same party. So I smiled and said hello and tried to introduce myself and do a little small talk before we got off the elevator. Those sisters looked at me like I was crazy. Don't you dare look at me. Don't you dare try and hit on me. Who do you think you are? All right? I don't want to criticize all black women. Not at all. I love you. But I miffed at the idea why black women, a significant number, are so unapproachable. Okay? And here's another thing. When a man says you intimidate him, that is absolute nonsense. That's a nice way of saying I'm not interested in you.
Okay? I agree with that part, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Men aren't intimidated by women.
Yeah, they just don't like you.
We don't care about that.
Yeah.
It's how we feel about you when we're around you. Mm. Do we feel comfortable? And I've had talks with my daughter about this so-called. Now, her mom and I are divorced. We were cool. We just recently, things are right, fine. But during the course of her being raised, we were separated. There were some issues, and I was concerned about that, how she would look at men. But I've always had a relationship with her, and I do want to say this. Ladies, look, black men are looking for you all, okay? We're looking. None of this. Oh, I can't find a man. Oh, black men, you know, they're intimidated by me.
Let me see what my experts have to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Dr. Sharifa, because I know you had to have a sip of water after hearing from our friend Alan.
He went through all the emotions. So I'm glad. Congratulations to your daughter on both her doctorate as well as her engagement.
Mm-hmm. Remember, PhD has nothing to do with her getting engaged.
Yes.
That you just, you know, come on.
Kudos for recognizing that black men are looking for women and black women. I think in terms of understanding approachability and mm-hmm. black women being approachable, I think, you know, men have to understand a couple of things. One, safety, right? Being approached in an elevator in a tight space can cause a lot of women to feel unsafe.
No elevator pitch?
No elevator pitch. Okay. No. Because it can make women feel unsafe. It's tight. We don't know. We can't get out.
Yep.
You know, it's a threatening space for women, right? Yeah. And then the second thing is don't assume that they turn their nose up. If there's three women, they may not know who you were talking to, if you were talking to one, if you were talking to the others. They don't know what to do sometimes in a group. And so don't
always... Is that true? Women don't know what to do in a group?
Because we don't know who you're talking to.
Who are you talking to? Who do you want?
Let me back up there. Let me stop, because I find that, you know, that's interesting. I'm not talking about in an elevator. Because it's one thing, you say, you know, good evening, ladies, blah, blah, blah. He said he knew they were going to the same party. He could have waited. I agree. He could have waited. But if you're sitting at, you know, with your girlfriends and you...
And one man comes up. We're probably going to be standoffish because we don't know who he is talking to. We don't know who, which of us he wants. And we don't want to step.
He's greedy.
That's a problem. Right?
Listen, that's a problem.
Don't want to step on our girlfriend's toes.
Right. Because she might be feeling
they might like him. So it is like you're going to have women more standoffish if they're in a group.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy approaches.
So he should wait until one goes to the bathroom.
Well, yes. No, not the bathroom.
Because you all go to the bathroom and pack.
But that's still a very scary space as well. The bathroom.
No, I don't mean,
you know,
bathroom.
Wait till one is alone. If she's at the bar or something, then you know. But or just buy drinks for all the ladies. And I know guys don't like that, but at the end of the day, that gives you an open. But I do agree with you, Dr. Sharifa, in terms of being in the elevator, women are always thinking about safety. The other part of that is the trauma. You don't know what old girl has experienced in her last relationship. And not that you have to always be present of mind of
through. That's a hard, everybody's had trauma.
It's true. It's definitely true. But to just say that women are just unapproachable, you can't put every woman in that category per se, because there are reasons why she may be unapproachable. You don't know what someone's trigger may be. So although he may have been nice and was trying to do small talk, it may have triggered one of them to where they were just like,
I agree. No elevator pitch. With three women or just one.
Just one. Especially with one. Don't do it with one.
No elevator. I agree. You should wait.
Yeah.
If you're going to the same party, if you're going to the same event, without looking creepy or leering, keep an eye on, the group. If you have, you know, interest in one, and you've just got to figure out, you know, when to approach, and you may, help me here, Roz, you may have to, you know, say, yeah, I wanted to talk to you in the elevator, but, you know, it was a little tight space, blah, 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 do you have a minute, blah, 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 but always remember no means no.
Absolutely.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, Leonard calling from Ohio, thanks for calling, what's on your mind?
Yes, I had a question for the ladies. I'm an over-the-road truck driver. I'm currently purchasing my truck, and Google is not my best friend when we discuss meeting women. I'm a widow. It's coming up on 2 years, and I'm lonely, and I want to get back into things. And I'm making my life, trying to better my life to where I can have freedom, because I know it takes time to invest in a long-term relationship, because that is what I'm looking for. But I've dated a couple of women who are independent, so to speak, with got their stuff together financially and so forth, but they seem to be very aggressive and don't allow me to be a man.
So define, Leonard, aggressive. Mm-hmm. Define not allowing you to be a man. What do you mean?
Wanting to pay for everything. They won't allow me to pay for anything. They want to buy me stuff. It's almost as if I don't have money. And I have a six-figure income.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it because they Google truck driver, owner, operator, and they see how much money I make. So it's not like I don't have money. But I don't get the chance to be a man and be like, let me court you. Let me take you out. Let me buy this. Let me do. No, you need this, you need that. I want you here.
That's the long-term hustle. They on the long-term hustle.
What do you mean by explain that?
They putting their money up front so he can pay for the long run.
And they're trying to show you. So here's the struggle, because women are always like, "Oh, you're a gold digger, you're this and that." So they're trying to show you that they don't want you for your money, Alan.
Okay.
Yeah, they're trying. Leonard.
That's Leonard.
They're trying to show you that they don't want you for your money, and so if it's ways to get around that is that you have to be proactive, Leonard. You got to be proactive. Listen. Go to the bathroom, excuse yourself from the table, and go pay the bill. Or buy her something. Let her know that you do want to do these nice things for her.
And forgive me for being evolved.
Yeah, I would leave.
But if you like her, I would just say... gifts are not my love language. If they're you don't have to buy me. You know, I'm interested in getting to know you. And after she finishes looking at you like you have three heads, then, all you have to, you don't need to buy me anything to keep my attention. Go ahead, Dr. Sharifa. Tell me I'm wrong.
I think you're right. I just, do women do that for the long haul? Like, because my experience is that sometimes women may want to pay up front to get the man to think that they're not the gold digger, and then he pays in the long haul terms of the relationship.
Yeah.
And not that they're trying to be deceitful, but they don't want to seem, like you said, like they're the gold digger. Yeah. But they do still want the long-term payout. And so I don't know how long these relationships are lasting. Like, that might just be the dating, courting phase. And he may find that if they did commit, that all of a sudden he was, buying houses and things. but I do think that, if it's not fitting in the beginning, it's okay to walk away. Like, you want to leave in the early stages.
Yeah.
You don't want to try to force it in the early stages. It should be smooth.
Or Leonard, communicate. Say what you need, Leonard.
That's one of my issues.
Okay.
I don't have a filter, so to speak. I've been told.
Oh Lord
and
Jesus.
I was in a relationship. My wife passed away. We were together for 26 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she was my best friend. We talked about any and everything, regardless of what the matter was. Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I talked about things, it's like, I'm demasculine. I'm not being heard. So in my mind, because I'm a thinker, I'm thinking, if you're not listening to me, you hear me, but you're not listening to me, then you don't value me. You're trying to buy me. Because I'm not that guy. I know there's a lot of guys who would love to be kept men, but I'm not one of them.
But Leonard, that's unfair. You're making an assumption.
Mm-hmm.
You've made an assumption.
This was a year-long relationship. This was a year-long courtship, and it never changed. In fact, she actually got upset when I actually did that, when I went and paid for a purchase without her, knowing it, and she went ballistic.
Well, like they said, if you don't feel like your value, roll out. I mean, you drive a truck, just roll out.
Go where they want you, sugar, not where they tolerate you.
Yeah. Leonard, good luck to you. Thank you so much. Let me go to Alan calling from Fort Washington. Hey, Alan, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen, I'm going to say it like this.
Go ahead and say
I'm a 60-year-old man, right?
Okay.
Now, I've done a lot in life. I own a couple of companies. I stay in shape. It is so hard trying to talk to these sisters when you meet them at the grocery store or, a bar or church, whatever. My friends invite me all going out here to some fancy. I say, I'll go with you. And it's some beautiful black women. But you can't, it's like you can't even say hi to them without them just getting.
Without them what?
Getting mad or just frowning at you or just whatever.
I'm a gentleman. Yeah, I was about to ask, how are you saying hi to them?
Excuse me. I'll tell you exactly. Hey, how you doing? Listen, I want to compliment you on your looks. I think you look like a lady should. And my name's Alan. And you are blah, blah, blah. And they just like, it's like I'm speaking a foreign language or something.
You are. Right? You said I want to compliment you look like how a lady should. That is not, I mean, that's not sexy to anybody, Alan.
Yeah, that was.
I don't know what sexy is. Listen,
so your compliment should say, that is okay. A very nice dress on you. Oh, you wearing that dress. Or something to that effect, but not, you look like a lady should, because that sounds very demeaning. I don't know if you realize
I don't want to say I'm old school, but you're probably right. I can take some pointers on that, right? Like yes. I said, I'm 60 years old.
Are you talking to 60-year-old women?
I mean, listen, I'm telling you right now, where can you go to meet black women, say, the age of 30 to 50?
Yeah, see, you're right not now, talking to 60-year-old women. That's what I thought.
That's not age appropriate.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's why they're looking at you and frowning up.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why they're looking. A 30-year-old woman being approached by a 60-year-old man that says you look like a lady should, she's going to frown up.
Right. Right.
Okay, well, even these 40-year-old women. A
40-year-old woman is going to do the same. Go up 55. Go up to 55. 55, they might give you a flat line. It might not be a full smile, but you get closer. You get closer.
You get closer.
Yeah, you got to go up to 55, Alan. You want to know where to meet the 55-year-old women at.
Yeah, I mean, hold on, Alan. Because, brother.
Yeah. I'm listening. Go ahead.
Yeah. When you said, I'm going to tell you how nice you look, and what did you say about
them? You look like a lady. You should.
I
cringe.
We all did.
Okay.
I'm a man, and I was like, ooh, no. And sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And so, tone and tenor is, because again, what did Dr. Ross say? You know, it's about security. That made me feel uncomfortable. And like you said, you know, maybe you could use some pointers. I think even at 60 years old, yes, 40 years old, whatever, you can always use, some pointers, and everything isn't for everyone. But I would say you may want to drop the voice a little bit. That, I mean, honestly, I'm being very honest. That will help. I really, because right now,
raise
I think.
Raise the age.
Yeah, raise the age and drop the voice.
Yeah, raise the age.
Anyway.
Because listen, I'm in them 30-year-olds. Yeah. Let me tell you what they're thinking. And this is no offense, but there's the half your age. So they're like, this man might have worms. I'm sorry, I'm Southern, but that's what they say.
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Now, hold on.
That's what they say. That's Southern, right? Come
on. I did get a text, Dr. Sharifa, about the paying that our long-haul trucker mentioned. And she says sometimes women don't want to feel obligated if the man pays.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that. Because this is what happens when you date. And I think that if you think that you're going to be obligated if a man is paying, you need to date better men.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can understand what the text person said. But what it sounded like to me was that when the first caller with the truck driver, he was saying it was a habitual thing.
Right.
So usually that might be the first time where you're like, oh, we can go Dutch, or oh, because we're going to know you. But when it's constant, I want to pull out my wallet. It does. And the same thing for men. It seems like that's the bait, you know, like they're trying to hook you to something for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I can understand why a woman may want to go Dutch in the first or second.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. No. But I would also say, I think that the time for some, if he asks you out and he pays, then and you say yes, the only thing that you owe him is the time of the date. Mm-hmm. You should not feel obligated to do anything.
Tell that to the men.
That I'm here for that. I'm here for that.
Listen,
I know, and I don't know why.
These young sugars, the stories
not
I hear.
Not the young sugar.
Yeah, the stories I hear here, it's like, did you just, he said that to you?
Right. It's like, I spent all that money and you're not going to sleep with me? What?
That's crazy.
Well,
it's crazy.
I think with the young people, it is a little, it is different though. Because there is also this expectation that dates, the first date needs to be $300, $350.
Yeah, and that's
you
ridiculous.
Know, and they're meeting on apps, and so they're meeting a lot of people every month.
Yeah.
So I definitely tell my younger clients, like, your first date on an app, go to a coffee date. Have it be an ice cream date. It should be low cost. You want to see the person in person, that they look like they pictures. You want to do that. So
yeah, I mean, let's, you know, for men of any age who go the traditional route, dating is expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, that's but if you want to find your person, then you are going to have to figure that out, because Starbucks ain't cheap either.
Look,
Dr. Sharifa Al-Ukta, Dr. Roz Acker Black, thank you both for coming in. It is so good to see both of you. Hopefully we help somebody. Like I said, you got to get them into church to hear the sermon.
Amen.
Yes, indeed. That is the Daily Drum for this Friday, August 11th. My goodness. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins-Wilson, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Oh, and engineer Iron Waller. Hey, Iron. Good night. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody.